Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Anyway, we're going to get right into the Word today, the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word. We trust the Word here. We stand on the Word. That is our firm foundation. And that's what you stand on when the storms hit, right? And so we believe that the Bible is authoritative and it is appropriate for today. We believe that you can read the Word and God can speak to you from it. He speaks a new word from His ancient Word. Amen. Anyway, today we're continuing our thought called the God of More Than Enough. How many know God is more than enough? He is more than enough. Today's message, I call it Attack Your Lack. Attack Your Lack. Let's get into the Word. This is a passage that I never preached out of before from this, especially this paraphrased translation is the Passion Translation. But Luke chapter 9 is where we're going to begin from the Passion. Verse 10 said this way, months later, the apostles returned from their ministry tour and told Jesus all the wonders and miracles they'd witnessed. Jesus wanting to be alone with the 12, that's a good point. Jesus wanting to be alone with the 12 quietly slipped away with them toward Bethsaida. But the crowd soon found out about it and took off after him. When they caught up with Jesus, he graciously welcomed them all, taught them more about God's kingdom realm, and healed all who were sick. As the day wore on, the 12 came to Jesus and told him, "It's getting late. You should send the crowds away to the surrounding villages and farms to get something to eat and find shelter for the night. There's nothing to eat here in the middle of nowhere." Jesus responded, "You have the food to feed them." Great translation here. Not in the other gospels this way. "You have the food to feed them." They replied, "All we have are these 5 small loaves of bread and 2 dried fish. Do you really expect us to go buy food for all these people? There are nearly 5,000 men here with women and children besides." Many believe, Bible scholars believe, there's at least 15,000 people there. He told his disciples, "Have them all sit down in groups of 50 each." After everyone was seated, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and gazing in the heavenly realm, he gave thanks for the food. Then in the presence of his disciples, he broke off pieces of bread and fish and kept giving more to each disciple to give to the crowd. It was multiplying before their eyes. So everyone ate until they were filled, and afterward the disciples gathered up the leftovers. It came to exactly 12 baskets full. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Many of you know this by heart. If you don't, you should. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Let's pray one more time. Father God, would you open the eyes of our heart today as we look to you to hear what you're saying, to hear what's on your heart, Father. We just ask you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and counsel, revelation and might, that we can understand what we hear today, that you would enlarge us in the waiting. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The God of more than enough. We talked about taking the words back, prosperity and abundance, because the world has so taken them. I was watching Young Sheldon the other night, and sure enough, even Young Sheldon, on a new TV show, they were making fun of Christians who believe in the word prosperity. And they were making it out to be some kind of extremist thing that only televangelists know to try to get something from you. I'm just telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It is a Bible word, and we're going to stand with the word. I'm going to stay with the word, right? Last week, we looked at Jesus as the great shepherd. We said that the correlation of John chapter 10, verse 10, "I've come to give them life and give it to them more abundantly. I am the great shepherd of the sheep," correlates with Psalm 23, where the word says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, I shall not be in want, I shall not be in lack. He pours out over me his oil so that my cup runs over." Can you say amen? Amen. through God, our shepherd, we shall not want or be left in lack. We said it's not about just about money. Prosperity is not, in fact, money isn't even the biggest aspect of prosperity. Prosperity has to do with having enough to accomplish the purpose for which you've been sent to the earth. You have a purpose. You're not here by accident. You're not here by cosmic coincidence. You have an assignment, and you need to get aligned with your assignment. In order to get aligned with that assignment, you've got to be open to being a distributor of everything God puts into your hands. It should get through you to help somebody else. God doesn't mind you having a little something, but he wants you to make sure that my old pastor used to say, God can pour out great resources through you if you just don't get sticky fingers, right? If it's just not all about you. I know I've seen a lot of people that were in multi-level marketing, and this is not to say everybody's in this boat, but I've met a lot over the years. And one of the things that's interesting, a lot of people that get in multi-level marketing have this idea that when my ship comes in, I'm really going to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. But the problem is, they won't do that incrementally. They do it with pie in the sky. When I make $1 million, I'll give God half. No, you won't. The Bible says the same way you are with a dollar is the same way you'll be with $1 million. The rest is a pipe dream. So it's not about just that. We said everything you're lacking, grace, strength, hope, encouragement, any area where you are going through something and feeling a sense of lack is an area where God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, my abundance will be made perfect in your place of lack or place where you have need. So El Shaddai, we said, the God of more than enough. Jesus is the giver of abundant life. The children of Israel provoked God, and that's where we landed last week. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Let's not limit a limitless God. To them, God was only as good as his last miracle. And then they became ungrateful looking for the next one. Let that not be us. Can you say amen today? Now, as we move on, I want to talk about going on offense. It's time to attack your lack with the truth of the word. Not with the world's opinion, not with what everybody else says, not with what Dr. Ding Dong says on podcast, but trust in the word of God, trust in his word preached. Listen, let me just say this. I want to say this, and this may be controversial, but that's okay. Let's start with something controversial and hit it in the mouth, okay? Chronic poverty or lack is a spiritual force of hell. I didn't say if you're going through something where you're in lack right now that you're serving the devil. That's not what I said. I said if your chronic lack, chronic poverty is a spiritual force designed to keep you disempowered from fulfilling your destiny. Remember last week I said, that's why Isaiah 54:17, we declared in spiritual warfare all the time, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The word prosper there has nothing to do with money. The word prosper, no weapon formed against you shall have enough power or resource to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So we need to take back the truth of the word of God. An experience becomes a mindset often. That's the thing. When you go through an experience, you often justify it and you kind of go through this situation where you can spiral downward if you start believing. Listen, somebody along the way, and I'm getting ahead of myself because I know it's somewhere in my notes, but I'm just going to say it now. Somebody told most of us when we were growing up, unless you were grown up as a super wealthy person from old money family, you were probably told like I was, listen, our family doesn't have much and it's okay. Listen, my grandfather was a Methodist preacher for over 40 years. He served in the Southern New Jersey Conference and was very faithful as a man of God and he was blessed in a lot of ways. But he used to say, well, we're parent chiefs. We don't have much money, but we got a lot of love. And that sounds really noble until you realize it's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. So I'm going to talk about that today. We're going to pull the wool over the devil's eyes on this. We all go through seasons of financial ebb and flow. If you're going through an ebb right now, we pray that you'll flow. But chronic poverty is never God's best for his kids. Proverbs 6 says this, verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler. Poverty is described as a thief that is trying to come into your house. You see it?
Yeah.
Let me read it again. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Well, who is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy in John chapter 10? It's the enemy of your soul. So let's not take things. Listen, laziness and spiritual slumber open a wrong door. But if God is your father, he promises to take responsibility to provide for his own. So here's the thing. So years ago when we were preparing for ministry, we call it our faith walk time, don't we, honey? Call it our faith walk. We had a few years where we said, God, we don't care how much money we make or whatever we do. I'm sorry if this microphone's bothering you. I put it out so far last week and they said it didn't sound right. So now I moved it in and now it's rubbing against my face. Sorry about that. Sorry, those of you online, be blessed. The reality is that we went through this time where we said, well, God, we'll give up everything. We just want to serve you. And we did. And so we went after God and took a job in ministry that really didn't pay enough to actually pay the rent and pay the bills. But we were serving God and we were happy. But we weren't just living from paycheck to paycheck. We were living miracle to miracle. And what happened was during that time, We ran up against any big bills, any rent payments, this kind of thing. Was like every month we sweated it out for a couple years. And we're like, God, we're gonna come, we need you, we need to see you move. Now, the Lord spoke to my heart one day, this scripture, 1 Timothy 5:8, in my devotions, and said, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And one crunch time, as the Lord spoke that to my heart, I felt like the Lord asked me, do you believe I'm a good father? I said, of course you're my father. Of course you're a good father. Then the Lord spoke to my heart again, if I'm a good father, how could I ever fail to provide for you as my kid? And he gave me that scripture and said, I could never fail to believe in myself. I can never fail to be an unbeliever. God can never be an infidel. God can never fail to provide for his own. God cannot deny the faith and he can't be counted as an unbeliever. I love Hebrews 6:18 from the Message. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, not just doesn't change, cannot change. The promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. You may know that verse in the New King James as, God cannot lie. God can't lie. Do you believe that? He can't lie. It's not, God never gets up in a day. First of all, he never sleeps. So he never wakes up and says, well, I don't feel like doing miracles today. I don't feel like taking care of my kids today. Let's hang them out to dry today and just see what they do. Angels, let's watch this. This is going to be funny. The word says God cannot change his mind and he cannot lie. And if he promised to provide for you as a father provides for his kids, he will provide. That's for somebody today. Somebody in this room, you need to know, you may be against crunch time too, but he cannot fail to provide. Stop running to plan B. Stop running around trying to find some other way to make it happen and trust in him. Trust him this week. Don't take matters in your own hands. Trust God. Believe him. Do his word. You're not really loud today. You're kind of quiet. You still time changing? Is that, Listen, most people get conditioned to think small in childhood. This is where I got ahead of myself. We get conditioned to think small, don't we? We go to the grocery store when we're little kids. And what do you want when you go to the grocery store? When you're a little kid? Everything. Everything, right? Everything. You're in that little cart. They put you in that little seat. Now they got something where you can drive. Pretend to drive anyway. But you get in there, and what do you hear all the parents with their kids on? No! No, you can't have that cereal. I don't know about you, but I used to like the cereal that had the best prizes. And a lot of times my parents would buy me the cereal. I'd eat one bowl of the cereal, dig through, get the prize, and then not eat it again. I mean, every cartoon is when I was a kid came up eventually with their own, cereal sponsorship, And so I didn't like Crunch Berries. Never once. But if they had a good prize, I'm like, I want that one. That's how I found out my favorite cereal of all time only comes out in the fall, Count Chocula. Love me some Count Chocula. I get it for my grandkids every year. For my grandkids, yeah. Anyway, every year so they can have it with Papa. But here's the deal: we get in these situations where I say, "Quit asking. Don't ask for that." Did your parents ever say, "Money doesn't grow on trees," right? And now you say it to your own kids, and you wonder why you swore you'd never say it, and now you're saying it to your own kids. Why? Because it's true. But we want them to aspire to things. But the problem is, we get conditioned. Listen, when Jesus talks about childlike faith, he's talking about the faith of a child is if you said something, they just trust you to do it. They just trust you that you're going to make it happen. Maybe even some well-meaning people convinced you that poverty and humility are synonymous. You know, that used to be a big Christian kind of a religious kind of an adage that poverty, if somebody's poor, they'll be humble. And so poverty equals humility. And that's just not true. Some of the proudest people in the world are poor people who just want everybody to know how poor and needy they are and how much they feel like victims. That poverty and humility don't they're not synonymous. They're not. If poverty is so holy, my friend Charles Nieman used to say, if poverty is so holy, then why doesn't God live in it? Where God is, they use gold for pavement. If we heard that Pastor Lindsay was paving his driveway of his home with solid gold, it would be on the cover, well, there used to be newspapers, but anyway, it'd be on the banner of somebody's website. Worship pastor, senior associate, uses gold for pavement. What a waste. And we'd say, I'd be concerned as well. Where'd you get all that gold, Pastor Lindsay? But the point is, where God is, the word says it's gold. There's no scripture that says that heaven is filled with shacks. Or that they're, late on their payment to Jupiter. Or having a problem with... Never, I won't say it. I won't say it. Never. I won't say it. I won't say it. I won't say it. You know I'm not going to say it. Having a problem with Uranus. But anyway. The truth is, poverty, according to the word of God, is part of the curse of the law. That's what the word says. That in the garden before the fall, there was not only was there abundance, but if anybody ever eaten at the Four Rivers restaurant, it's a chain. It's a Florida chain owned by a Christian family. That you know what that Four Rivers references? Genesis, before the fall, where God points out to Adam, there's four rivers here, and this one over here, Havilah, is filled with gold. That's where the gold is. God said to Adam, the gold is over there, go get it. And then the fall of man came, and suddenly it was by the sweat of your brow. Suddenly it was by pain in childbirth. The curse of the law. According to Genesis 3. According to Deuteronomy 28. If you'll, the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 are the blessings if you listen to God and trust him and obey what he says. And then the rest of the chapter is filled with, and if you don't listen to God, it's poverty, it's lack, it's struggle. It's all kinds of doors open for bad stuff. That's the word. But here's the thing. Galatians 3:13. From the message, Christ redeemed us, who's us? Believers, his kids. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because of that, the air is cleared. And we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his spirit, in and with us by believing, by trusting, just the way Abraham received it. My friends, Jesus took the curse upon himself, and therefore it has no legal authority. But the problem is if you and I stay in that mindset, well, grandma said, or my pop-up, my pop-up said, well, you know, we're parent chiefs. We're always gonna kind of eke out an existence because we're parent chiefs. We're either preachers and teachers, and you know they're all poor. Rich in love. How many know you need some resources to get behind? And we're talking about in every area of your life. We need the resources to fulfill the purpose. If you believe that God has a destiny for your life, then you've got to believe that he has a way to provide for that destiny to happen. That he cares about that, and we got to be honest about it. We can't be intimidated by young Sheldon or anybody else, or even old Sheldon. We got to trust what the word says more than what they say on TV. Jesus took the curse upon himself. And he demonstrated God's more than enoughness. I'm going to make up a word there. More than enoughness. He demonstrated it in this account of the feeding of the multitudes. Now, let me tell you how important this is. You know, the Bible says in the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Most of the stories of Jesus, most of the accounts of what happened, appeared in one or two of the Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That means God's saying it with an exclamation point. Okay? Not only that, in two of the Gospels, they have the feeding of the 5,000 plus a feeding of the 4,000, sometimes in the same chapter. Well, you say, well, was it 4,000 or 5,000? Yes. There's one particular verse where Jesus said, or two verses where he says in Matthew, don't you remember when I fed the 5,000 over here in Bethsaida? And don't you remember when I fed the 4,000 over there in the Gadarenes? The primary difference, if you read those stories, is location, location, location. The feeding of the 5,000 was in the Jewish territory around the Sea of Galilee. But the feeding of the 4,000 was a miracle to the Gentile land across the lake. He takes care of all of us. He takes care of all of us. Amen? His provision is for all of us. Now, in this account, remember, this is not a parable. A parable is when Jesus compared the kingdom and said the kingdom is like this, and he gave these parallels. Parable, it means parallel. He would give a parallel. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the fish of the sea. Look at the trees of the field. Look at the lilies. Those are parallels, parables. The feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the multitudes is not a parable. It is a factual account of something that happened that not only did all four gospel writers see it, but they all felt how important it was to demonstrate the character of God and the DNA of Jesus. In the passage, we find many powerful principles revealing God's nature. I'm just going to go with a couple of them. As the disciples became concerned with the hungry multitude, their suggestion was that Jesus send them away. They were already thinking ahead. In John chapter 6, Jesus kind of asked a question, it seems like. But in this account, in Luke, especially from the message, he says, look, these guys were getting anxious because these people, you know what hungry people do? In a crowd, if they get too hungry, they will overrun your tent. They will, this is why people get hurt in a crowd at a concert or something. Because when people get pressed or anxious, and I don't know any more anxious people than hungry people. You heard of hangry? People get hangry. They get upset. The disciples are starting to sense something happen. Let's be real about it. They're starting to sense something go on with the crowd, and they preemptively said, hey, Jesus, please send these people home. Please send them to town to go get their own food because we're out. We don't have any, we don't even have any goldfish crackers for the kids right now. We don't have anything. We're out. And Jesus says to them in this translation, very powerful, you have the food to feed them. Let me tell you why we're talking about the God of more than enough this month. Because according to him, according to the word, according to Jesus, according to the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to help feed people around you. And I'm not talking about natural food alone. You have everything you need, every bit of equipment, every bit of grace. But what do? We hide our light under a bushel basket because we always feel like we're in lack. Well, I don't have, Lord, I don't have enough to do something like that for somebody else. I don't have enough to help them. What about me? You have the food to feed them. You have the food to bring people back for Resurrection Sunday. You have the food. You have the equipment to be the bringer. Not just the inviter. You have it. Listen, number one, here's the principles. Number one, God works through people. He works through his people. Yeah. Disciples became part of the miracle. All they had was five small loaves of bread and two fish. It didn't look like much, and it certainly wasn't enough for thousands of hungry people. But the Holy Spirit had a plan. These guys were about to see one of the greatest miracles ever. They were about to see that multiplication miracles always start with something you do have. Let me say it again. Multiplication miracles always start with something you do have. The widow woman in Zarephath in the time of Elijah, he said to her, go make me a little cake. She said, I only have enough to make one little cake. He said, then give me the first piece. That would be the headline of Pastor Lindsay. Out there with the, there he is, the Elijah anointing. Well-fed, strong, mighty worship leader, ask widow woman for her final meal. Film at 11. No, I'm not picking on you, PL. I'm saying you got the Elijah anointing on you. That widow woman, She didn't know, but she heard it was a prophetic word. It was not a pathetic word. It was a prophetic word. And as she did what he said, it unlocked 3.5 years of food that didn't run out through the whole famine. It lasted her for a whole season of time. This impacted her life and her kids. This impacted that whole area. We read about her. Jesus even references her on his first day of ministry in Matthew chapter 4 when he announces his mandate, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When he gets in trouble with the people, he starts talking about, remember the widow in Zarephath? How she gave Elijah her last meal? And the Bible says the people got angry because he starts to point at these Gentile women. Zarephath was a Gentile region. And remember, listen, what about Elisha, the double portion prophet after Elijah? He finds a widow woman. And she comes upset, and she says, you know, my sons are about to be repossessed by the bank in indentured servitude. They're about to be taken away from me, and I've lost everything. And he said, what do you have in the house? She said, well, I just got a little oil. He said, that's it. Go get it. Quit telling God what you don't have. God works through his people. Quit telling him what you don't have and give him something to work with. Give him something to work with. When we started the church, so my wife and I have been tithing now 40 years. Next month will be 41 years we've been tithing and giving offerings. We learned this at 22 years of age. Thank God we learned it. Now, when we started the church, we were tithing still. We tithe. And we gave offerings. In the beginning days, I can tell you sometimes on midweek services, we would write a check. Remember, anybody still have a checkbook? It's gone the way of the newspaper, I think. But anyway, save the trees. Anyway, we would write a check for $2 sometimes just to give God something to work with. But we wanted to sow every time we got in the presence of God because we trusted him. We trusted him. We gave him something to work with. Then we were starting to be able to write a check for $5. Eventually we could write a check for $50. Eventually we could write a check for $100. Sometimes write a check for $1,000. But it started with that. It started with the same faith it took to do something with that $5, that $1, that $2. You give God something to work with. He works through his people, and you are his people, right? We are his people together. God works through people, number one. Number two, God works through community. God works through community. Jesus said, okay, we're going to feed them. You have all you need. Now, here's how we're going to do it. How many of you consider yourselves administrative minds? You like a plan. You like to see a plan, right? And you like when the plan comes together. Well, this is Jesus and the Holy Spirit had a plan. God has a plan and said, now sit them down in groups of 50 and we're going to feed them now. Now, can you imagine 15,000 people sitting down in groups of 50? I promise you, they didn't just go, okay, 50, okay, boom. That's not the way crowds work. That wasn't the way crowds worked 2,000 years ago, and it's not the way crowds work today. But somehow they got in groups of 50, and they sat down. God works through community. He distributes his goodness and provision through the church body. That's how he does it. With all the huge needs of others in the world, we can often feel so small and insignificant, can't we? But Jesus is the source. He is the fountain of life. Everything flows from him. So that's why I want to read you the scripture again, because this is really powerful. The Bible says, after everyone was seated, Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fish, and gazing into the heavenly realm, he's looking into heaven. He's not just looking up. He's looking into heaven. He's looking into the kingdom provision. He's looking at God the Father. He's gazing into the heavenly realm. Thank you for the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then, in the presence of the disciples, he broke off pieces of bread and fish and kept giving more to each disciple to give to the crowd, It was multiplying before their eyes. Now, let me just think about this for a minute. So I'm not a math guy, okay? I've been honest with that I went into ministry because I was told there'd be no math. And then I get into ministry, and lo and behold, you know, a few books into the Bible is a book called Numbers. I'm like, oh, here we go. In my mind, up till this week of study, I thought, in my mind, that each disciple took care of 50 people in the group. But the problem with that is, it's not in the math. 12 times 50 equals?
600.
Thank you both. That's where you know the math majors. 12 times 50 is 600. How many times does a disciple have to go back to Jesus to get more to feed 15,000? Or even 5,000. A lot. Okay, we don't, I'm not asking for I'm not asking for the whole thing here. But what I'm saying to you is this, that how many times do we as servants of God, and I don't mean just pastors and leaders, I mean all of us that are serving God together at church and in the community, how many times do we feel overwhelmed, deficient, tired? And what happens? You have the food to feed them. But what you got to do to get it? Keep going back to Jesus. The God of more than enough. When my wife and I were going through that time, I've shared this story before, but it bears repeating. When we were going through that faith walk time, we lived in this place for 5 months we affectionately called the Roach Motel. It was a condo in Lake Destiny, condominiums down near where we were going to church, and right around the corner in Maitland, that area. And we lived there for 5 months, and it was a struggle. It broke my wife's heart because our son and daughter had to sleep in the same bedroom for 5 months, and she didn't think that was right, but we had to do it. We had one bathroom for the four of us. I didn't think that was right, but we had to do it. And there were times, literally times. One time we sat down at the table. Many times we would sit down, but this one particular night, we sat down at the table, and the kid said, "What's for dinner?" We said, "Mac and cheese." Anybody remember the Kraft box kind, you know? You got all these exotic kinds now. But the Kraft box mac and cheese was all we had for dinner that night. We sat down, and we thanked God for it. And we praised God. And we, you know, we gave him each one a little macaroni. No, we didn't do that. But as we started eating, I forget if that time was the phone rang or the knock on the door. Do you remember? The phone. So we're sitting down eating macaroni and cheese, and the phone rang. That's back when it rang on the wall. Remember that? And I answer the phone. I didn't normally answer the phone during dinner, but I answered the phone. And these friends of ours said, "What are you doing?" Well, I said, "We're just sitting down to eat." They said, "Listen, we just had, our friend worked at M&M Mars in the marketing department and was really, really blessed. He said, I just got a bonus, and we want to take you and Gail out for the nicest steak dinner, and we've got a babysitter for the kids." And you know what I said? "Thank you. I receive it." And I love mac and cheese, but steak sounded a lot better. Countless times during that time, we prayed over what we had. So because our friend worked at M&M Mars, he was representing one brand called Susie Wan Rice, and he also had Uncle Ben's Rice. And there's all these flavors, and when he found out we didn't have a lot of groceries, he loaded our whole pantry with different flavors of rice. So sometimes we would sit down, and we would have rice and a little bit of meat or something. We would thank God. The multiplication occurs in the thankfulness with what you have. When you stop complaining about what you don't have, God works through community. These guys had to come, these disciples, they had to give out what they had to 50. Then they had to go back to Jesus and see he's still multiplying. He's still multiplying. He's still multiplying. And every time they came back, until everybody had eaten and everyone had eaten till they were full. Some eat like little birds. I'm full. Some eat with both hands. I'm full. When they were all full, only then did Jesus say to the disciples, hey, come back. Let's collect the scraps and see how much we got left over. Out of 5 loaves and 2 fish, they had 12 baskets, one for every disciple. When you think God isn't enough, when you think, I'm so tired of taking care of these kids at church. Oh my gosh, we were overwhelmed last week. We had so many kids in church. Oh, we were overwhelmed. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I think I need a break is what I need. I need a break. No, you don't. You need to get back to Jesus and get the next thing that's in his hands that he's multiplying. Quit complaining about what you don't have and go back to the source of all life, Jesus himself. Amen. Number 3 and last. Every time they ran out, well, here it is, I already said it. Every time they ran out, they returned to Jesus for more. Every time they ran out, we often feel so inadequate, overwhelmed for the task of serving. But as you serve, just keep going back to Jesus. With Easter 2 weeks away, don't get overwhelmed by the tasks ahead. Just get what you have into Jesus' hands and keep going back to him to provide abundantly whatever you need and whatever the people you're serving need. There's no pressure on you to create bread or fish. Jesus is the miracle worker. You're just the delivery system. When you're working, whether you're ushering or greeting, whatever you're doing, we call Easter our all hands on deck day. We need everybody serving, everybody doing something to help somebody else. That's a big day. But understand this, all you are is Grubhub. You're DoorDash in the spirit. You are Uber Eats. You are the delivery system. And if you'll be obedient to get what God gives you and give it to somebody else, it'll multiply in your life. And he'll show you the superabundance of everything he has and everything he has. Jesus is the bread of life. If you're in children's ministry, worship, creative arts, greeting, ushering, whatever you are, be the DoorDash. Be the one to deliver that smile, that handshake, that hug, that encouragement, that lively conversation, that real compassion and care, not just, hi, how are you? Move on through. Hi, how are you? Move on through. No, we need you to love somebody, to care for them, to let Jesus work through you. He is the bread of life. The miracle of multiplication is simply in the distribution to others. As our Now Crew new t-shirts say this year, we are here to serve. And the only way to attack your lack is to attack it with faith and attack it with a heart to serve. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord Jesus, you are worthy. And we give you glory and honor and praise. I want you to know if you've been under attack this week, we've been praying for you as pastors. We've sensed certain things going on in the realm of the Spirit, praying for you, concerned about you. This week, I'll just be honest, some of you have been through Hell Week, even on spring break. You've been through a hellacious assignment from hell, and it's tried to discourage you and wear you out. Today, the God of all encouragement, the God of abundance, is coming with a wave of hope, a wave of grace, a wave of life, a wave of provision. I'm aware that right around you, people are sitting that have been through something this week that you just, we don't know what somebody's battling in their mind, battling in their body. But I know this, Jesus is more than ready for the task at hand. He is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can dream up, anything you can ask, anything you can think. He's able to take care of you. But you got to get your eyes off of the problem, off of the pain. Bring it back to Jesus. If you're here today, maybe you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. That's the beginning. That's the first step to a relationship with God, is to make your own heart available to Christ. To say, Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Help me to live for you. I want to know you in a real way. If that's a cry of your heart, then that's the area of abundance you're about to feel and about to sense, about to know, about to realize. Let his presence touch your life in a brand new way. He is more than enough. This is not a saying. This is the truth. He is more than enough for your marriage to get through this moment. He is more than enough. He is more than enough of everything you need in this moment. His love is more than enough. Even when you don't feel loved or lovable, his love is more than enough. Just let that sit there for a moment. Father, I pray for every person who's struggling today, every person who's going through a season or a tough moment. Holy Spirit, would you wrap your arms around them as the comforter and bring that courage, that strength, that hope, that life, the faith of God that they need. Show them your love. Reveal your love inside of them that they can know that you're more than enough. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. It's time to break out of limitation, folks, and fully trust God with everything. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.